It's about a minute after 8 o'clock on a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we welcome the president and CEO of WealthWise Financial to give us the WealthWise moment. We welcome Laureen Gilbert this morning. Good morning, Laureen. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
It's great to have you on the program today, and thank you for calling in. The first question is the most important question, and listeners since last week have been calling and wondering, how's your dad doing?
Oh, thanks for asking. So, yeah, my dad was hospitalized with COVID, and all the doctors, nurses were saying he wasn't going to make it. But you know what? He is pulling through. He turns 85 years old on Saturday. And I'm looking forward to celebrating his birthday. He's still in the hospital, and I can't see him, but he is going to pull through this. So thanks for all the good thoughts there.
Oh my goodness. And that's the best news we could have heard all day, and I'm delighted to hear that, and the very, very best
to
your dad.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
When you and I spoke last week, less than an hour later, or it was 2 hours before a siege by anarchists and terrorists, over at the Capitol. But the market didn't respond especially negative to that. Now, we know everything that happened, and that's a different subject, we'll talk about that at some other point. But was that because investors were secure in the fact that Georgia had been settled 3 hours later? Well, what happened? Why didn't the market react more negatively?
You know, it's a great question, Ed, and here's what I want to point out to listeners and investors. The markets will surprise us time and time again. If you try to think about what you think should happen in the market, you could be severely disappointed. And I will tell you, the short sellers were very disappointed. And so I would say to beware of allowing, let's say, either your political beliefs or what you think maybe should happen in the market to overrule ongoing trends in the market, because the trends of the market tend to continue despite whatever the news is out there. And the trend right now has been we're in recovery. That's the story. The longer story is that GDP is expected to be very robust. We've just started earnings season, and I think we're going to see a good earnings season. So that's why you really didn't see the market reacting to that news. As devastating as all of that was and as emotional as all of that is, it didn't rock the market.
Okay. And essentially that ties right into my next question, is that the pandemic, because we had faith in the massive COVID-19 vaccination efforts that had been promised at the end of last year. And that's the reason that I believe that stocks kicked off 2021 with record highs, a big part of it anyway. But early evidence shows that, you know, we stumbled a little bit. We're at 9 million mm-hmm. vaccinations now. And again, so far, investors don't seem to be alarmed by these numbers. Is there a point where we need to catch up, will investors eventually be alarmed if we're still way behind the curve in a couple of months, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I think that we do have a marker. That marker that was given to us is the 20 million vaccinations per month. And even though everybody's admitting that December was, you know, a failure, not what they wanted, but saying, hey, we're going to ramp up and we're going to get there, that is that marker that we're looking for. We're looking for the 20 million vaccinations per month. And if we can get there, Ed, then that really puts us at most probably herd immunity by the end of the summer. And people had wanted it, and the expectation was the beginning of the summer. But even if it's at the end of the summer, that really puts us to reopening in a more complete way towards the end of 2021. And I only think that the markets will start to negatively react if it looks like there's not going to be a reopening in 2021. So as long as we can push towards the end of the year or the second half of 2021, I think the markets are going to be just fine.
Okay. And there's now appears to be a growing, a rolling snowball of effort. You told me right before we went on of some companies paying employees to vaccinate. I love that idea.
It's such a great idea. And Dollar General is leading the way with that effort and saying, we want to get the vaccine out to our employees. And we want to make sure that rural America is taken care of. And so many of their employees are in rural America. And what they're doing is they're going to pay their employees 4 hours of pay for going to get the vaccine. And so without making it a mandate, it's encouraging their employees to do it and that they would be compensated for that. So I think it's a great effort, and I hope other corporations will follow suit and go in line with that of actually compensating employees. And you and I have talked about this before, kind of that positive reinforcement versus maybe more of a negative punitive one. I like the idea of companies taking a positive approach to it.
Right. You and I have spoken about that often. You're the carrot. You like to do the carrot, and I offered the stick, right? Yeah, so, and I'm finding this big push also to vaccinate. I see it happening now locally, as we're, if you heard the city council meeting last night, they talked about 5 super sites being open, one of them Disneyland, that just opened this morning at 8 o'clock. So super site vaccination locations, and then they're going to open it. So I think that it's really, for us, it's got to be a war against this virus. So as many locations as we can that vaccinate, as many great creative ideas like that, paying employees to vaccinate, the better and the quicker. So, yeah, I
agree, and I love it. Yeah, and I also really love the idea of these super sites that are going to help put in, you know, they'll have the procedure in place, they'll know what they're doing, and they can just, you know, run through the numbers and get people vaccinated. And also, of course, watch people to make sure that they don't have any kind of reaction. And with that, I just want to let you know, my mother just got her first vaccination. She got the Moderna vaccine, and she's, you know, really happy about that. And she, of course, is in that category of one of the first, you know, to get it. So I think it's great that people are starting to get those vaccinations.
Agreed. So she's due. So they gave her the first one, and then they've given her a scheduled date to get the second shot?
Yeah, I believe it was 28 days after the first one that she gets the next one. An interesting point is they also told her that it would be 14 days after the second vaccination before she was fully immunized.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a process.
All right. If she's listening now, hello to your mother. And you, during Takeover, you played that really cool French song for her, I recall.
It was, That's right.
Now, the next question dips into the melee from last week, but it also kind of underscores what we might be looking for in the next couple of months. Corporate America didn't back Trump when he ran for office in 2016. But business groups enthusiastically embraced the agenda after he won the White House. They were excited about tax cuts and deregulation and that, you know, the regular stuff. But the insurrection last week has sparked a reckoning in the business world. A lot of people are jumping off board. Bank of America, Coca-Cola, Facebook, Microsoft. All of these companies have announced that they've suspended political donations, Airbnb, Amazon, to the Republicans who tried to overturn the election. But my question is for the future now. Will the real test come with these companies when Democrats push for raising corporate taxes and introduce new regulations? Will that be that's the line too far?
You know, what I'll say is that all of this is an emotional response to, you know, some tragic events. And I think when cooler heads prevail, everyone will settle down, because the reality is that the way that D.C. works is that there is, you know, a lot of corporate dollars are spent on both sides of the aisle. And most of these corporations give to both parties. And that's very normal, that's just kind of normal political lobbying efforts. And so they're going to want those favors, as it were, done in D.C. So I don't know that this is going to last, but I do think it is an opportunity for the Republican Party to redefine itself and look and see, you know, how do they want to define themselves going forward. And so I think that will be something that will be interesting to watch. And then I think you'll see the corporate dollars kind of following back in line. But I do think that there's a lot of hype right now about almost, you know, let's just have this huge sweep one direction, even that, you know, even the way that voters turned out to, you know, have the White House, the Congress, all three, in a sense, areas, looking at all being with the Democratic sweep. So, you know, I would say the next 2 years, the Democrats have everything behind them to get the legislation that they want done,
right?
But if it goes too far, then we'll see kind of a pullback in the midterms. And like I said, along that with that, I think that you're going to see corporate dollars following suit. So I'd say that that was a short-term emotional response, and we'll see longer-term where things go.
Okay. Thank you. So I asked you on right before we came on live about something that I'd read that shocked me. And when I read it, I couldn't believe it, that the U.S. economy had lost 140,000 jobs in December. And the article claimed that all of them were held by women. And the numbers, as I told you, worked out to women losing 156,000 and men gaining 16,000. This is an article by Annalyn Kurtz in CNN Business. Is there a skew in the math, or can you tell me the demographics that actually lost jobs in December?
Yeah, so let's put this in perspective. This was the first month since April that actually had this kind of a decline like this, which is truly remarkable given that we were in a global pandemic. So it's really no surprise that we would have, especially in the month of December, when we didn't have the stimulus until the end of the month. And when you look at who was actually hit as far as the demographics and industries, it was all mainly in restaurants, hotel, leisure. Those were the areas that were hit the hardest. And so if we look at that, I don't see how it could all be women, because, you know, not restaurants, hotel, leisure, it's not all women in those areas, and I don't know how they came up with their numbers. But the bottom line is, I'm sure that the essence of the article is probably that in that month, women were hit harder than men, and that is, you know, that's not a good thing, right? But what I would say is, I also think that that number was a short-term little blip, and that we're going to get back on track going forward in January with those employment numbers as we continue to reopen. So, you know, we know that with the lockdowns, both the lockdowns as well as no stimulus until the end of the month, those were the two big factors that impacted those numbers.
Okay. The Intel just fired its CEO. Why did that happen?
So it's an interesting story with, this is the shortest period of time for a CEO with Intel.
Right.
And Intel has really been struggling. You know, AMD has kind of taken over. AMD, in a sense, is the new Intel. And so Intel has lost a lot of business. It's lost their number one status as far as semiconductors. And an activist hedge fund, Third Point, bought a bunch of shares. And so with that, they took control and they demanded sweeping changes of the semiconductor company, including wanting a change at the top. This often happens when you have an activist investor come in. They want changes, and they want changes from the top down. So that's exactly what happened. And Swan is out. A new CEO is coming in. And hopefully this new CEO will be able to lead the charge for Intel. But they've got a lot of headwinds, right, and they've got an uphill battle.
Right.
So we'll see what the new CEO can do.
Okay. And how uncomfortable would I feel as the new guy coming in after this guy's been out the door so quickly?
Oh, yeah. Well, and exactly. So that he knows it's theater to the fire. And, you know, some things that they can do is they can, you know, sell off. They're very large.
Right.
They can sell off some smaller acquisitions that they had made and kind of regain focus on their core competency.
Okay. I was reading something that you had written, and it struck me that I'm close to retirement. I'm getting there. I'm thinking about it. It's one of those things where I'm starting to buy Bermuda shorts and things like that. I'm getting close. what would you suggest for me?
Well, there's a few things that what I'd say is, you know, it's a new year, and at the new year, people set out new goals. And one of the top goals for the year is looking at their finances. And so I'd say that you and others are thinking about, you know, what can I do to improve my finances? What can I do to make sure that I can retire well? And I'd say the number one thing that you could do, and anybody getting close to retirement, is to hire a financial planner to do an in-depth financial plan. Because there are things that people don't think about, kind of the gaps, the blindness that they might have just because they don't know. But when working with a good financial planner who can analyze and look at those gaps after working with, you know, thousands of people and figuring out, you know, how do people retire well, you need to work with an expert to make sure you're not missing something. One of the things that we do with our clients is we do in-depth financial planning, and we do it using Monte Carlo simulation. And that's using 1,000 iterations of the market and looking at the probability of success. And that's what people need to know. What is my probability of success? If I live to be 100 years old, am I going to run out of money before I reach 100?
Right.
That's what you don't want. You don't want to have that happen. And there are things like inflation, and that's been in the news a lot over the last few weeks, is inflation expectations are going to be ticking up. And with that, have you factored in inflation into your own scenario over time?
Yeah, so that right there may have been the best 3 minutes I've ever heard in my life. Thank you, because first of all, getting someone else, getting a professional, takes so much stress off of me. That's just that's the first thing right there. Fantastic. Thank you. And how do we find you, Laureen?
So wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
All right. It's always fantastic to talk to you, and especially today with the great news about your dad.
Thank you. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial, President and CEO. Money, money, money.